Our first reading is taken from Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 31. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "All who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day."
Hallelujah.
This morning's reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 17. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. And I have made you known to them. And will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them. And that I myself may be in them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Father, we've heard the word spoken, how we are your body. Many gifts, one body. And the desire that we would live in love and unity so that the world may believe. Father, I pray that you would use my words this morning and that you would speak to us as your body in this place. Amen. Would you like to take your seats? So today we're continuing with our series, I Believe in the Church. As a teacher, I used to teach RE lessons called The Church. Hey, how exciting. And what I used to sometimes say to pupils is, if I say the word church, what comes to mind? And I would get stained glass windows, crosses, old buildings, etc. If I said the same thing to you, I wonder what image would first come to mind. And it may be of a building, it may be of the windows, it may be of something else. But the image that we hear in the New Testament, as we've heard this morning, is of a body. And I have to admit, if somebody said the word church to me, the first image that comes into my head wouldn't necessarily be a body. But that is the image that we have in the New Testament. In Paul's writing, the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. And there's a clear picture in this of the relationship between Christ and his church. A relationship between the members of Christ's church and the unity that should exist. Different parts, but one body. And we don't call the church the body of Christians. We call the church the body of Christ. It is his church. It is Christ's church, not ours. We're not a club. We are Christ's body. And this should impact how we view things and how we are. Whatever our views are on styles of worship, on points of theology, whatever it might be, we need to remember that this isn't a club. It is the body of Christ. Different members, one body. And although here at St. Augustine's we form the body of Christ in this place, it also obviously refers to the universal church worldwide. But what we see in the letters of the New Testament is Paul focusing on unity within the local body of Christians. And in each case, there would have been people from different backgrounds, with different preferences, different styles of doing things. And actually when this led to division, whatever that division was about, Paul had some pretty strong things to say. And I guess as we enter a new phase of our life, I was thinking about this as I was reading this week, and thinking about as we maybe enter a new phase, as we maybe come together to worship together in this place, as we learn together what God is calling us to, we need to remember that we are called to unity. We need to remember that we are the body of Christ. It's not about uniformity. but it is about unity. Of course there's room to discuss and air our differences, if we do it in the right spirit for the right reasons. And I don't think there's any sense of, when you read the scriptures, of a sort of suppression of different ways and different views. But actually, unity within the body of Christ is important. As I've said a couple of times, we are not a club. We are the body of Christ. We are called to love and unity, and to prefer one another rather than our own interests. And there are so many things as we think about the church that I could draw out today, but I want to focus on two things. Firstly, as the body of Christ, there is love for one another. Unfortunately, if we go through the whole of church history, what we see very often is the lack of love for one another. A bit of disunity. And I believe that any division or lack of love is not the work of God. In John's Gospel, we heard Jesus' prayer that we might be one. Why? So that the world may believe that we are his disciples. God loves unity and love within his church. It is a powerful witness to the world. I'm really excited when it comes to Pentecost Sunday in a couple of weeks, that there are going to be different churches of different styles and different denominations around this city meeting together to pray in the cathedral. What a witness that is to the city of Derby. That is amazing and really exciting. And the devil hates it. He will do all he can to undermine the work of God and love and unity within the church. And I guess we need to remember, I need to remember, that whatever might divide, we actually need each other. We belong to each other. There are many parts, but one body. How do we maintain this unity? It isn't always easy. By love and preferring the other, which is hard. A quick search I did when I was doing some work this week, when I was sat down and thinking about today, has shown that the words one another appear 100 times in 94 verses in the New Testament. And one of the things I loved the other week about this one anothering thing and the love, when Andy spoke about sort of vision for the church going forward, and at the end of that meeting, Louisa took the microphone around and there were different people just expressing the sense of love. Different people who Catherine talked about coming into the church broken and regaining her first love. And there was just a sense of such love and one another. And that's one of the things I love here. You know, I've only been here, well, less than a year, and immediately there's a sense of just people loving one another, and we're in it together. And I think there is a real sense of unity and love in this place. And I think there's a little bit where, when Catherine was talking, and Louisa was still with the microphone, I thought, this is a glimpse of the kingdom of God. When there is love and unity for one another. We are called to love and unity. Yes, in the universal body of Christ, but we work it out here. It's in this place that we work this out. Love isn't easy. Love is costly. It demands that we give of ourselves. It involves bearing each other's burdens. It risks getting hurt. It also demands honesty. Requires forgiveness, involves loving one another, plus bringing and sharing our gifts for one another and the world. So in the body of Christ, what do we see? There's unity and the love for one another. The one another thing we also see is gifts for one another. We heard, thank you for that very long reading, apologies for that. There's so much in there that covers what we were looking at today. The different types of gifts that you heard about at the start and the end. The unity, the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 4 also it speaks about different gifts that are given to equip the church for works of ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whose role is to build up the body of Christ. But if we think of some of these roles of just being for those with a title within the church, we've missed something. Of course, there are those that God has called into those kinds of ministries, but we all need one another. We are all called to serve the body of Christ in different ways. In the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, we heard a whole number of gifts that are given to the church, often referred to as the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe they have a really important place in the body of Christ. But there are also many other gifts out there. I don't think for one minute when there was a list of gifts, it was full stop and that's all there is. I think there are so many other gifts that we have. I really appreciate those in this place with a gift of hospitality. I see that in evidence every Sunday with a smile and a welcome on the door, at coffee time, Tuesday at lunch club, Wednesday at the gathering place. And all the individuals within those teams that bring their particular gifts within that. Gathering place on a Wednesday. When I look at the team that we have there, we all have got slightly different gifts and we come together and we function because we come together and we all bring our different gifts. I appreciate the gift of administration and finance, the gift of looking after the building. I'm not going to name names in fear of embarrassing some people and leaving other people out, but we can all think of people sat next to us who bring the gifts that they bring to the church in this place. And what makes any of these gifts particularly spiritual? If we do it for the glory of God and the love of one another, I believe they, in the hands of God, become spiritual gifts too. We all have different gifts, different abilities, different things that we love, and we can bring them before God to be used in His service, serving one another and His mission in the world. And I guess a question that I have for myself and a question that I have for all of us is, are we using the gifts that God has given us for the benefit of His body, the church? All the gifts are important. We heard in the reading, not one more important than the other. Every part of the body is stressed. You may not be a hand in this body, but the hand cannot do its job without the other parts of the body functioning too. For us to function, for us to be the all God has called us to be in this place, it takes us together, in unity, working together, playing our part. You know, sometimes I think the body of Christ can be a bit like a sort of, you know, a poorly man limping along because some of the parts are doing its job and the other parts are sort of dragging behind and limping along. Dragging bits along that aren't working properly. I don't know about you, when we get an injury, a part of your body isn't working properly, things don't get done. This week, very clumsily, I managed to smash a mug. I don't know how I did it. I took it out of the microwave, knocked it against the wall, and it smashed in my hand. And I cut my finger, and it took 2 hours for this to stop bleeding. I couldn't do anything. For a start, it started bleeding when Phil and Sam were out of the house. So I'm sort of sat there, and it really hurt, just trying to stem the bleeding, thinking, am I going to need to have a stitch in this or whatever? And then I couldn't do anything with it, because I had to hold it until Phil came in, and then I could begin to do something, could begin to get it taped up, and even then for the next 2 hours I was walking around like this. Thankfully it is beginning to heal. But actually as I was preparing this, when I was thinking, actually that's a very small thing, it's the tip of my finger that wasn't working properly. And actually for a few hours I couldn't do anything, apart from walk around going, ow, and holding my hand up. I've struggled to do other things. You know, I'm trying to wash my hair or wash my hands or do some washing up. Tiny, tiny bit. It's about that much of my finger, and it's affecting everything that I've been doing. It's the same in the body of Christ. Some of us are the tip of the finger. Some of us are the feet. Some of us are, you know, different parts. If one part is not functioning properly, we don't function properly together as a whole. When we're fit and our body works, lots can happen. It's the same for us in the body of Christ in this place. None of us are surplus to requirement. I believe there are no appendices in the body of Christ. No bits that we don't need. We need us all. And none of us should have an inferiority complex or a superiority complex. We may feel that our gifting is not as important as somebody else's, or that my gift is far more important than anybody else's. When we heard the reading, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. We need one another. We need to appreciate the gifts that God has given us and the gifts that we see in other people. And we should desire, as the scripture was saying, desire the gifts from God and seek to use them. Paul says later on in 1 Corinthians, having been given different gifts, let's use them. So, in conclusion, there are many, many things we could say about the church as the body of Christ. But as Christ's body, we are called to love one another. We are called to unity. But as an expression of our love and our unity, we are called to use our gifts and appreciate the gifts of others. Why? So that we can be the fully functioning body of Christ in this place. Where the body of Christ is functioning and built up, people can grow in their walk with God. People can come to know Christ. We can grow together into being all that God is calling us to be and being involved in his mission in the world. But we need to remember, when we think about the image of the church being the body of Christ, that Christ is the head. He is the Lord. Christ is the head of the body of the church, and we seek to serve him in love and unity. Amen.